It's the first Friday of the month, and the Plant Rant is on the air with Sandra the Plant Lady and guests, made possible by Baker Orchards at Centurion. Morning,
Sandra. Good morning, Bob. Good morning, everyone. So Debbie's here with me again today. She's kind of becoming my new co-host. We'll have to come up with a snazzy name for you.
I love it. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And we have Bill again from Z Orchard to talk about the Northwest Maple Farm Tour that's happening this weekend. It seems like it was like only a few weeks ago. You were here a year ago having this similar topic, and now here we are. How has a full year gone by since maple harvest season?
Yeah, it's been started out a slow year, and now it's been building up, and now with it freezing again last night, we should be at a pretty good level of sap this year.
Yeah, so explain how that works again with the temperature and how it gets the... So you're saying the sap flow was slow to start out?
Yeah, it just seems like sometimes things are mixed up, but you want the weather to get up into the 40s during the day and into the middle 20s at night is ideal. If it gets too cold, then it's too late in the day before it warms up. And it has the wind blowing makes a difference and everything else. So, but we're sitting in good shape. And last year we didn't have sap to cook during our Northwest Wisconsin Maple Farm Tour.
Well, because you started in like January or something, didn't you, last year? Because I had John Morley on too, and last year was all goofy.
Yeah, it was all goofy last year. And this year has kind of been kind of the same. It goes and then it stops, and but right now we're in a pretty good run, and the way the weather looks, it looks like probably through about Tuesday or Wednesday, and then the season will be done, because then it starts, the trees are starting to bud a little bit, and we're supposed to stay up in around 40 at night middle of next week. And that will be the end of the season.
Because you need that cold cycle?
Yeah, and once the leaves bud out, then all the sap is used for the production of the leaves. And
sure, because it's pulling it up from the bottom, right? It's the food that would be coming up to feed the plant. So at that point...
Actually, what we're catching is what's returning to the roots, because that comes up in the lumbar, which is the little white right under the bark. That's where that goes up the tree. And then when it gets cold at night, it doesn't want to freeze in the limbs, so it heads back to the roots. So that's when it goes through the veins inside the tree, and that's what we catch.
That's fascinating.
That's why it has to freeze at night.
I didn't know that for a long time. And we'll say long time until just right now.
So. I just learned that now.
Well, tomorrow's event is open to the public, as I understand, and it's across Polk County. Is that correct?
Yes, there's, six farms. Here in Amory, we have Z Orchard, and then Larry Loverud's retired, so Kathy and Larry, they are opening their Sugar Shack for tour this year too. So,
oh, that's cool.
Two of us here, just a half mile apart, and then others are up towards Luck, Cumberland, Frederick area.
So Morley's Maple Syrup, and then who else is participating?
I believe it's Lovey's Maple Farm, and then Richter's Maple Syrup as well.
Yep.
And there's one other one. Oh yes,
yep.
That's right. Up in Cumberland.
Yep.
So they've been with the community for quite some time. So this event with all these community farms opening, it's really helpful for our towns to just go out and visit these farms, see what they're doing in your community. And it really is an educational event, welcoming the public in to see everything from sap being turned into syrup over a fire and steel pans to more industrial operations like Bill Zegger and Morley's Maple Syrup.
Morley's way bigger than I am.
Well,
he collects so much. He collects sap from other people, I think, too. I mean, he just gets tons and tons of...
Yes.
Or gallons upon gallons, I guess.
But you're heating yours with gas. Morley's, is he heating his with gas, too?
I am not real positive on his. A lot of them are heated with wood.
Okay.
And I know Dan Carlson, he's north of Amory here. I talked to him yesterday. He's having a good year. He's not part of our tour this year. He has been in the past. And he heats with wood, and a lot of them do. I think Husted's are with gas, if I'm correct.
I think it's just interesting because you get to get out and see that there are so many different ways to do it and that it's how it's getting done. And
yeah.
Well, it's been weather dependent historically, the participation in this event, I believe. And it's just kind of the first time in spring where you go out and meet your neighbors again. You've had this long, cold winter, and this is one of the first festivals of the springtime to go see people.
Do you have anything extra going on at your place? Because I know in the past, haven't you had like fiddleheads come out and get some food?
We're not having, fiddlehead will be at our other events, but this early spring one, they won't be. We are having, we'll have a honey event and then an apple event and a pumpkin event later in the year.
Well, remind us of those things because we can get it on our community calendar, both on Plant Rant and on the regular.
I did hear a rumor that Bill may be making cornbread tomorrow.
Ooh. Hot.
That would be Sherry and Uni are making cornbread.
Oh, okay. Look at how honest
and
he is.
Will, and you will have the opportunity to either try honey or hot sap or hot syrup.
Or
and
both.
Also, and also, we are going to have our traditional coffee that we make with sap instead of with water.
Ooh, yum.
So you just use the straight sap and put it in a percolator and cook it with coffee, and it ends up 2% sugar. So it's interesting.
And you'll have the boiler running tomorrow. How many gallons yes. of sap or syrup will be boiling while people are there?
We'll probably have about, I just talked to Glenn. Glenn Dale and I are the three who collect syrup and cook together, and we'll probably have about 400 to 500 gallons to boil tomorrow.
Wow. So the whole place is going to smell like maple syrup, steam rising out of the cooker.
And I know Larry's going to be cooking with his, and he has a flat pan operation, and it'll be fun to see what he has going on also.
Well, are you going to be able to sneak away to go see that, or? How are you going to the Lover Roots if you're...
I'm not sure. It's only a half mile down the road.
Yeah, so. You just sneak out for a quick break and disappear for a minute. That's pretty cool.
I heard a rumor that there was some type of troop at your orchard this past week, too.
Yes, there was... I'm trying to remember the name of it now, but it was it's a church group. Kind of like the Boy Scouts trail...
I know who they are.
Trailblazers?
Is it Trail Life?
Trail Life. Trail Life. Yep. And they had about 30 people there. Sure. It was a week ago last night. And they had a very good time, very good turnout. So.
And those kids were what ages?
Probably, I don't know exactly, but I'd say from grade school through... There were some probably middle schoolers to high schoolers.
Were they out in the woods?
Yes. They went out and run all over the woods and had a great time. So, and Dale Schwenke was the one who was in charge of that, and he rained herd on them out in the woods.
They're a bunch of really good kids. Yes, they came here for a tour, and I was really impressed.
Isn't that nice? We have a lot of good people in our community, including the children, which will grow up hopefully to be adults that stay in our community, and then we'll continue to have good adults around too. But how fun. I bet that was great to have that energy out there and for them to get to see it and just being outside. I'm kind of back in that mode where I got to get outside every day. Otherwise, it just gets funky. It's that Wednesday this week when it was so great. It was just, I didn't do much, but I've been trying to get out and get in the woods and walk and... So you get to be out there a lot, though, because you're out collecting. And it kind of makes, I think that's what's fun, because you're saying we're kind of coming out of dormancy. This is one of our first kind of events going on in our community that does involve getting outside. And with us having all the people that do syrup here, it gets people to go outside and be doing something. I know at my place, my landlord's been cooking sap too, and he just sits out there in the sugar shack and gets it and has the syrup so cooking.
How many trees do you have tapped?
This year, our tapping, Dale, he is tapping up at Ox Lake Bible Camp where I previously have tapped. Oh. And then Glenn Seaman, he brings sap to me because it was his father-in-law, Dave Paulson, that got me started in this obsession. And
do you have to blame someone now? Huh?
Yeah, blame someone. So the three of us cooked together, and we got about between 2,000 and 2,500 taps between us. So that's small potatoes compared to the Morley. I think he's up at 14,000 or something like that.
Wow.
Taps. So
on his own property, 14,000?
That I don't know.
Wow.
So they got a big operation.
Yeah, he's just so passionate. Like, his energy is so radiant. It's just great. And then his story of how he got into it just for some tax breaks or whatever. And now he's just, you know, he travels all over and he teaches and does different things. It's pretty cool. He's really branched out, too, with all of his different products.
He does the flavored things. At the orchard this weekend, I also have a good supply of honey left from last year, so we'll have that for sale. And sorry to say, but we don't have cider this year. Last year we had...
Had you frozen some or something? Or
we had frozen for sale last year, but the season wasn't real good last year, and it's all gone, so we have none of that.
Yeah, so you had a similar experience, right? Because of the weather, the fruit trees, you didn't get a blossom?
Right. What had happened, what I was been told, is there's been three of us orchards right kind of in this area where we had a really good blossom. They come out, and then, like, the next day we had a really hard rain.
Oh.
And it washes all the pollen. And so when it washes the pollen off, then when the bees come, there's nothing to pollinate. So yeah. I know there's a couple other orchards in the area, too, that had very poor production last year.
Well, and Baker just... The trees just didn't bloom.
Uh-huh.
They didn't bloom. And then we found one tree. We were doing some fall cleanup stuff, and there was a bloom on in, like, October on one tree was this late blossom because we had had, like, a cold snap or something. And John's thought process was that because we never got a real hard cold the previous season, that then didn't induce the plants to bloom. But you're saying you had a bloom, but the pollen got washed away, possibly.
Yeah, the trees all turned really white, but it was just for, like, less than a day. And then we had one of those really torrential rains we had last year.
Just knocked it off.
And it just knocked everything off.
Wow. Yeah.
Even with a perfect season with rain and snow, it's expected that the apple trees aren't going to be steadily producing year after year, correct? Is there some...
Well, if you do the proper pruning of the apples so that you don't get too many apples on them, the thinning, then they will produce every year. If you let them have a heavy crop, then the next year, odds are they're going to take a year off.
So I think that's why a lot of homeowners have that, because they're not thinning off the apples. So the thinning is, and some growers, bigger ones, will use
spray.
Yeah, spray, but I was trying to think of an inhibitor, the word's not coming to me, it's okay. But even at Baker, like, we'll hand thin. Because if you use the spray, you risk, if you overspray, then you can thin too much. But you literally pick, so to give an idea, it takes 50 leaves to feed one apple. So you really only want a few apples per every, like, 12 to 18 inches. And so homeowners aren't typically out there thinning. And that's why they're seeing that cycle of every other year. Whereas an orchard, we need production every season to be open for business. And
yeah, and if you take and thin them so that, if you think about it, when that apple gets to be full-sized, it doesn't touch the one next to it. If you thin them that much, that means if you got a cluster of five on the end of a branch, that means you got to clip four of them off.
And you feel terrible when you do it. You try to find the ones that are misshapen or, you know, look like they maybe already have insect damage. And sometimes you're just picking off this beautiful fruit. You really feel like a horrible person.
A couple of years ago, I'd taught Addie, who worked for me, how to do it, to thin them like that. And she was very good at it. Well, if I saw a cluster of five, a lot of times I'd leave two. Well, in the fall, you could tell which trees she'd thinned and which trees I'd thinned.
Isn't that interesting?
Because at the end of the season, even though you picked off two-thirds or, you know, over half of the apples, you got the same amount of bushels.
Because their size.
Because the size of the apple is so much bigger, so it's not really being counterproductive by picking them.
And it's less, but, I mean, it's work while you're thinning, hand thinning, but when harvest time comes, you have... But they're taking up more space in the crate and in your picking bag. And
yeah, and also if you have two apples, look at it. If they are touching each other during growing season, typically they'll both have a little black spot on them where they've been touching together, and then neither one of them are number one.
Sure, now so, you're grading them. Now so, you've already got a second or a cider.
Yeah, now
you
got two seconds instead of one first. So there's multiple reasons to thin them.
So was Addie, she must not feel guilty when she's doing it.
No, she was doing it.
She doesn't have a conscience, no.
She was doing it as she was told.
Exactly. Well, and then how interesting, though. So were hers considerably larger apples then?
Yeah, they were, you could tell the difference of which trees, and there was, hers were mostly all number one apples.
So. Nice. Hmm.
You just had your whole orchard pruned?
Yeah, Luke Lee, he does pruning, and he works with me on the orchard, and he also prunes for other people, too. So he did a very good job. There's a lot of branches out there to pick up, but he has his little army that comes and picks them up. So
little army as in?
Four daughters.
Nice, nice. Well, and that's important to get that picked up, and it all takes time, and it's a lot of work to get bend over and get all those branches.
Do you prune every year, every spring?
Yes.
And are you mainly focusing on, so it's typically with your fruit trees, anything that's growing like, you know, crossing branches clearly, and then anything that's growing straight up and down, you want to come get taken out?
Yeah, now when the one thing I've seen where people say about the straight up and down, it's if it's off a horizontal branch and it's going straight up, but the main trunk of the tree is going to go.
Well, yeah, don't take off the leader. But so, yeah, so a horizontal, a vertical branch, a vertical stem on a horizontal branch.
Yes,
because it's true that because those
they're
produce
sapwood.
Fruit, right?
Well, and if they do get an apple on them, the apple is going to be leaning against the branch, and then in the wind, it makes a dark spot on the side of the apple, so
sure.
There you got another cider apple.
Because
so
it's hanging down on, yeah, okay.
It's hanging because it's touching the
right
branch all the time. So,
are there similar rules with how you would treat the maple trees, overtaxing the maple tree, or anything you have to do to prune them, or how many taps you can put in?
Yeah, there's rules about how many taps you can put in. We don't really prune them. I did take a whole bunch of poplar out of my woods 4 years ago now, and that really gave the maple trees, because my maple trees were, most of them were 12 to 18 inch trees. They really took off when they got that, all the competition from the poplar away.
Interesting.
And then one other little subject is the sugar content. And this year, sugar content is up, which makes it a lot better for boiling. The big places I'll use reverse osmosis, where they take a lot of the water out before they start boiling it.
Oh.
And I know some of them will get, they run it through the reverse osmosis machine a couple times, and they'll be down, they only cook 3 gallons or 4 gallons to get a gallon. Where mine, last year, our sugar content was about 2% or just a little over, so we were caught doing over 40 gallons to get a gallon.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
This year, we've probably been running about 2.6% sugar. And so then it only takes 34 gallons to get a gallon. So that sugar content's a huge thing where you have to boil, you know, 25% less water off to get the same amount of syrup.
Well, and that's interesting because that doesn't seem like a very high percentage difference, but that it makes that huge of a difference with just a fraction.
Yeah, because if you had 4% sugar, which I have seen on select trees or select areas, and if you get 4% sugar, now you're talking only a little over 20 gallons to make a gallon.
That's so amazing.
It makes a huge difference.
And how are you testing this? How do you know?
I have a refractometer to do it. You can
We like those big words.
Bill's such a fancy man.
We have our good word of the day now.
Refractometer.
Otherwise, we use a hydrometer. There's two different kinds. So.
Okay, but how does it read? How does it? What does it? How does it measure?
The refractometer is a, it's a little electronic machine and it's got a digital readout on it. A hydrometer floats in the sap, and then you just read the...
You read,
so it's kind of a guesstimate. And I always tell people when I'm showing them that the hydrometer, I always tell them there's three ways to read it. There's the guy who's buying the sap, the guy who's selling the sap, and the person who doesn't care.
That sounds about right.
So with 40 gallons of sap up to get a gallon of syrup, how many gallons of sap can you expect from one maple tree or range?
Ooh, that's a... I'm not up on exactly what those numbers are. Some people would... This year, we're at... Our little orchard, we're running, I think we added up last night, I think we're somewhat over 12,000 gallons of sap now for this year. So
unfinished. 12,000 gallons of sap.
Of sap.
Okay.
Yep. And something over 300 gallons of syrup so far.
Good for you.
So
you'll have fresh syrup. And, you know, I want to circle back to something because you had talked about the honey. So are your bees home yet, or when do the bees come back?
My bees that are in Texas will be back the first week of May.
Okay, so it works around the May Day time frame. Okay. And is that based on temperature? Is that based on light condition? Like what's, or just...
When they bring them back?
Yeah, or just May is the time.
The bees that I take down, they take down, I take them to Ames Farms, and they take them down, and they have land kind of by Houston, and they raise queen bees, and so they're making more hives. And that May date is based on they start like mid-January raising queens, and then they have so many cycles that they raise. So then once they're pulling the last queens like now, and then they have to have time to get their hives established, because then they sell them all in new hives, and they'll bring extra two-trailer semi back.
Well, it was interesting because there's honeybees where I live, and I saw one out already, and I'm like, baby, what are you going to eat? Because, you know, and that's why, like, people poo-poo the dandelion, but I was really, and I like dandelions, but I was like, I hope there's a dandelion or something, because what do they do when they come out early and it's...
This time of year, the main thing that they're working on now is the popple trees and pussy willows and stuff like that. They're hauling pollen because pollen is what they feed their baby bees.
So there is stuff out there because of our early budding.
Yep.
You said poplars and and the
pussy willows.
Well, and that makes sense.
There are other things too, but that's the main ones.
And you see that, I mean, you can see that pollen on those species of plant material this time of year when they come out and they're all fuzzy. And so that makes sense. Okay, that makes me feel better because I was like, little friend, what are you doing out here? So, okay, cool.
Well, speaking of critters, I know that Richter Farm is going to have, they generally have some farm animals out for your visitor to see. And other maple sugar shacks have different events. You can tour the woods at yours. And there's some contests at the other sugar shacks. And let's see, this as far as special products go, we mentioned that Morley's has flavored syrup. I think they have a jalapeno and bourbon. And
sweet and spicy, yum.
And you have something called maple cream?
Yeah, the maple cream. I make that, and that's a good mover. That's all it is you take the syrup, cook it to a much higher temperature. It turns into almost like a taffy. And then you chill it and whip it, and it ends up like a peanut butter consistency.
Yum.
But it's nothing added to it. It's straight maple. So it's intense.
That's just how it gets processed.
How are people using it?
Well, you can basically use it on anything you want to put maple on and don't want it to run. If you want to, put it on a toast or a bagel or an English muffin or anything like that, yeah. They use it for topping on.
We both want it.
Well, I don't even eat a lot of bread, but that all of a sudden really made me want a piece of toast with that spread on there. And I normally don't eat toast or bread, but that, I'm like, I want it with that on there,
I
though.
I heard they're starting to use it, too, to make the fancy coffees with the, they use it in them, like the cappuccino machines
okay.
or whatever.
How long does it take to process that?
It's basically an all-day process because to start with, maple syrup, you basically cook to 217, 218, something like that. This you got to cook to 235 degrees, so you've cooked a lot more water off from it. And then you have to chill it down to 40 degrees.
Ooh.
So that, we put it in ice baths, and that takes a long time because... Okay. To get it chilled down. And if you don't get it chilled down properly, it can turn grainy, or it can, if you don't get it cool enough, then it never gets, it gets too thin.
Gotcha. Wow.
So it's kind of an art.
It's an hour's process.
Yeah, it takes...
Multiple hours.
Yeah.
With the potential for a lot of waste.
My sister has basically become help me most of the time when I make that, and we usually start like 8 in the morning, and it's usually 9, 10 o'clock at night when we get done. So,
wow.
And that'll be making, we use 12 to 13 gallons of syrup each time we do that. So,
I did hear one of your customers describe it as, I could eat this on cardboard and it would be delicious.
See, no wonder it makes me want toast. Yeah. Maybe I'll go for the cardboard option. Well, or could you just eat it with a spoon? Like, you know.
Well, I've had people come in and they try a sample, and one lady says, you don't mind if we take our sample spoons with us?
To keep licking, to keep sucking on that? Or
as they bought their little container.
Oh, yeah, so they could get it. Yeah, they bought some, yes.
You'll have samples available tomorrow of
nipple cream? Yes, we will. Yep.
And you're also running a contest, as I understand, now that we're talking about how we can consume all this.
So what's the contest?
Well, Debbie can enlighten us on that.
Oh, Bill Zager out at Z Orchard this weekend. If you're out there or online, he's running a contest for how you're using syrup cooking. So if you have a recipe you want to share with the community, we'll post it, or he'll post it on his website. And then the award for the winner is more maple syrup.
What? So who gets to decide what the best recipe is? Are you going to cook them and decide, or just...
We hadn't thought that far.
Well, good thing I'm here.
Yeah, maybe you will be partially responsible.
Yeah. I mean, do you need taste testers or anything?
We're going to have to make it fair somehow. But we've had some great recipes just shared with the orchard, and it's great to be able to continue those. I know my mom makes pork chops with the honey on the grill, and she puts honey and cinnamon on her pork chops, which I thought would be super weird.
Oh, no, yum.
I don't even
and
like
apples
cinnamon.
Apples, too. Have her do apples
I
on
like,
pork.
I like that on the grill. And there's a scone recipe on your website that I really like as well. But
my mom used to love everything maple, and then, like, we'd go on vacation, and she'd be like, it's maple bacon. It's maple sausage or whatever. Like. And she has the maple, you know, there are those maple syrup cookbooks out there, which now I've inherited, so maybe I'll have to see what I can make with some maple syrup and win the contest. Well, as always, it always goes by so fast. Well, Bill, thank you so much for being with Debbie and I today on Plant Rant, and you're always such a great guest, so knowledgeable. And just, keep us informed when you have your other events. And then what is the time frame for people for tomorrow for the tours?
Tours tomorrow is 9 to 5. It basically is 9 to mid-afternoon or late afternoon, and it starts winding down, but it's advertised till 5.
And can they find a map somewhere to go from farm to farm?
Yes, on his website, zorchard.com, there's a link to the event with a map for all the farms in Polk County, and it's a self-guided tour. So wear some walking shoes, be ready to have an adventure.
Yeah, and hopefully it'll be another nice sunny day.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, another episode. Here we go. Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a good month, everybody.